Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, big win yesterday for nurses in Maine, as a majority of the nearly 2,000 nurses at the Maine Medical Center there in Portland voted to form a union at the largest hospital in the state to protect the nurses and the patients. Good on them. Big shout out to the folks there. Wish them the best. Also today, there was a leafleting event going out at the Churchill Downs ahead of the big derby tomorrow. As the valets, I guess, are saying, hey, we want a reasonable contract. We should get this done already. And I guess this is going up right up to the last minute. We were supposed to get someone from here. A listener reached out and said, hey, can you have somebody on? Well, that fell through. So she sends me a story, and I'm going, hey, I know the guy who wrote this story. We should get him to come on and talk about it. So here to share some thoughts on the HuffPost story. Potential work stoppage looms over Saturday's Kentucky Derby. I've asked Travis Waldron to come talk with us. Travis is a reporter there at HuffPost. Travis, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So big news in Maine. Good on them. Some labor victories. Need that after what we saw happen in Alabama, but this is an interesting story as well ahead of the Kentucky Derby, no?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, for one, this is the biggest day in the state of Kentucky every year. And speaking of places that maybe need some labor wins, given that it's gone right to work in the last few years. But what it is is that the valets, not to correct you, I was corrected on this yesterday. It's valets, not valets.
I stand corrected.
Yes, it's a confusing thing, but they're quick to correct everybody. They've been working without a contract since the end of November, and what they're looking for are some modest pay increases and increases to their pension contributions from Churchill Downs, which the company that owns Churchill Downs owns a lot of other racetracks around the country. And there's another bargaining unit from Turfway Park up in northern Kentucky that's also seeking raises and pension increases. They haven't gotten anywhere with management, and so now they are considering a potential work stoppage tomorrow during the Derby, which would be I asked some people in Louisville, involved in the labor community in Louisville, and they hadn't or weren't aware of anything like this in recent history. At the Derby itself.
No, I can't remember anything either. So what does it mean if they go on strike? Would that mean that other folks might not cross the picket line? What does that mean? What would that look like in the event that happens?
It to be seen, I think. I mean, Louisville has a fairly vibrant labor community. And so far, it seems like the big organizations there are standing with the workers and throwing their weight behind the workers. It's notable. It's only 13 people at Churchill Downs, the Churchill Downs racetrack itself, the unit that's in a dispute with the management right now. It's only 13 guys that work at the track. But the Greater Louisville Central Labor Council, which is a association of I think it's 50 unions that represent about 50,000 workers in the city, has basically put its full weight behind the workers and said, hey, you know, whatever you all choose to do, we'll be there for you. There are also other organized workers at Churchill Downs. SEIU Local 541 is the one that represents the valets, and they also represent other racetrack employees at Churchill Downs. Given labor law and contract language and everything, what exactly they could do in terms of a picket line or anything else is unclear. But there's been signs of support from Democratic lawmakers in the state. Louisville is, you know, despite Kentucky's status as a red state, a pretty blue town. And, you know, the state Senate minority leader has said he's standing with the workers. Charles Booker, who's a former state rep, who's considering a Senate bid next year against Rand Paul, tweeted yesterday that if there is a picket line, you cannot cross it. So that they seem to have a lot of support. Now, how that translates to the general public or whether the general public's even, you know, massively aware of this right now remains to be seen. But We'll see what happens. It's probably going to be a pretty interesting 24 hours ahead of the Derby.
So now I have something to be interested in, the Kentucky Derby. I mean, generally, honestly, I find out the day after who won. I'm like, oh, that's a nice name for a horse. But I understand this is big in Kentucky. In fact, I've been to the racetrack. I've just never been there for a race. So this is something for me anyway to pay attention to.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's, you know, the Churchill Downs Inc., the company that owns the racetrack, said in their statement yesterday, you know, they're no stranger to the Derby being used as a, to bring awareness to a cause. But, you know, I think that there's more to it than that for the workers, right? This is obviously the biggest stage possible that workers at Churchill Downs could have. Right? Right. Churchill Downs has the attention of Louisville on it, you know, all the time. But for the world, this is the only time they see Churchill, the only time they're paying attention to the track. And so it is a pretty big leverage point. And, you know, it's important to kind of lay out what they're asking for, too. These guys make, I think, $109 a day right now from the track. They earn a little extra income through commission-based agreements with jockeys and trainers. But so what the valets do is they're the guys that basically prep the horses and the jockeys for each race. And it may not sound like a lot of work. I wasn't really aware of exactly what their job was until I reported this story, but it seems like pretty stressful work. They're responsible for saddling the horses, getting the silks right, getting the numbers lined up, and then putting the weights in the saddles so that every horse and rider corresponds and matches the weight limits for each race. One of the valets told me yesterday, you know, it's stressful work and you can't make mistakes because there's no time to fix it. You know, if you put too much weight on a horse or too little and he gets disqualified, it's you, it's on you. And they're down in the mud, they're down in the, you know, on the backside of the track working hard. They've $109 a day, daily rate. They've asked for $130 by the end of a 3-year contract. The union says that would cost Churchill Downs, which had over $1 billion of revenue last year, $27,000 total between the two tracks. It would cost them $27,000. Churchill disputes that. They say, but they don't offer what their cost estimate is. And regardless, I mean, when you look at it, 27,000, or say they're off by half and it's 55,000, it still seems like peanuts compared to what Churchill brings in each day and what Churchill's going to bring in tomorrow.
Yeah. And think, read the room. I mean, the negative attention that you're going to get in this moment when right now we are talking about workers' rights and organizing and this kind of stuff. I think it's time for the wealthy there who are going to be drinking their mint julep tea or whatever it is they do with the big hats. Maybe it's time for them to, I would say, read the room.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the real questions about this, right? Is like, this is, you know, I grew up in Louisville. I'm a horse racing fan. I'm not a like diehard. I watch the Derby, I watch the Oaks, and I watch some of the other bigger races. But the kind of symbolism of all of this is the Derby is all this pomp and circumstance. And, you know, it's Millionaire's Row and these horses that frankly cost an obscene amount of money and, you know, generate huge amounts of money for people. And then you have these guys asking for $21 over the next 3 years, like, and a company saying no.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, this isn't just this. I mean, you talk to any worker across the country, there's been this, you know, where management squeezes the quarter till the eagle screams. But when it comes to, you know, lining their pockets, the sky's the limit. And this is where I come back to. We have to have much stronger labor unions, and we have to have many more people honoring those picket lines and being willing to say, you know, just what I'm going to say. It's freaking insane that these guys are making only $109 a day. I don't know how you make a living on that. I don't even know that I would want to bother doing it. I know people love the horses and it's the mystique of doing the job and all that, but still, for $109 a day, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that Ron Shelton, who's one of the valets leading the charge at Churchill, told me yesterday is that it has the response from Churchill has kind of dampened his love of it. You know, these are guys. He's been working in horse racing for over 40 years. He's been working at Churchill for 37. And horse racing is not as popular as it used to be in the United States. And the number of races has gone down. The number of horses running in each race has gone down, which impacts the money for them too. And it's obviously impacted the money for Churchill Downs and other horse racing companies. They've mostly supplemented it with different forms of wagering and different businesses. For these guys, there's not as much leeway or flexibility to supplement that income. Like I said, they do make some from commission agreements with the jockeys, and they travel to different tracks each year. You know, so I think they work about 70 days at Churchill, and then they move to another track and do their season and move on. But they did say, you know, it's getting harder and harder to make ends meet because the business is changing. And meanwhile, you know, Churchill's CEO was paid $10.5 million last year, which the union argues is about 470 times the median employee at Churchill Downs, I think. And, you know, so it is in a lot of ways a microcosm of a broader labor fight in this country right now.
Yeah, but if you're the CEO, and this is where my mind goes, and I guess it's just the way that I run my business. If you're talking $27,000, and the company can't afford it, and I want peace in my company, I would reach into my own pocket and pay it. You're $10.5 million. He's being paid $27,000 is the interest that he would make on just letting the money sit there.
Well, that's still the sort of confounding thing that I think is hard to understand, whether you're looking at this from the like pro worker standpoint or just anybody's standpoint, right? Is like, why would you suffer the PR hit that has come from this? Or why would you worry or even risk something going wrong tomorrow on your biggest day of the year when everybody is watching you? Maybe they hope that, you know, this will just blow over and these guys will have to take what they're given on Monday when global attention and the country's attention moves somewhere else. I'm not sure. It's almost certain that, you know, people, it's not going to have nearly as big of a reach next week as it does now. But, you know, I think from what we've seen, from the way the Louisville labor community has reacted, I wouldn't bet on these guys just going away.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But here's the thing. There's part of me that goes, I understand why management's going to fight this, because it is a small amount of money. If they do give this tiny bit of raise to these 13 valets, then you're going to have to give a little bit of raise to everybody. And well, we can't have everybody asking for better wages, hours, and conditions, because that would just mean, well, you know, a salary of $10.5 million a year, maybe only, seven. And you can't live on $7 million like you used to.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, especially in Louisville. You know, it's just it's the most expensive city in the country, well known. But yeah, I mean, I think there's probably part of that, as you know, it's part of every labor fight, right? As if somebody wins here, then everybody wants it. But it's still just sort of, and Churchill argues, you know, they argued in a statement yesterday that they're offering the biggest, you know, a wage that is bigger than any comparable racetrack or in the region with a similar number of race days. But I think, you know, the workers would say, hey, you're Churchill. You are the kind of symbol of horse racing in the United States and frankly for most of the world. And you know, we're the guys that make that tick or play an integral role in making that tick. And you know, if it's not for us, you're going to struggle more than you think you are. Yeah. And you know, there's another aspect of this that these guys are arguing. You're already having trouble finding younger people to go into this business to do this work, and it's only going to get harder to find those workers if you're not paying competitive wages.
Yeah, but you know that argument of we pay more than, you know, those other ones. I would make the argument, well, there's something seriously wrong when you're paying $109 a day to do a job that is this vital. And as you've pointed out, you get to that line and up, you're wrong, your horse is disqualified. That's a pretty important job, I would think.
Right. And I mean, that's what they say, you know, they're kind of the unseen, but still just as important piece of a race, that, you know, we don't, if you're just tuning in for 2 minutes tomorrow evening, you're not going to notice any of their work, but a lot of it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for them.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, you know, since the race is happening, are we expecting a full crowd? Are they doing a partial crowd? How, cause there's part of me going, you know, what kind of money are we going to see in ticket revenue? Could there be a, you know, a penny per ticket thrown in to make this up? I'm curious, what are we expecting tomorrow?
It's not going to be as big of a crowd as normal for the Derby, which, you know, can attract upwards of 150 to 170,000 people. But I mean, it's still, you know, given where we are on vaccines and getting closer to something resembling normal, it's going to be a bigger crowd than they had when they ran the Derby in the fall at, last year. And so I think, you know, in any case, their revenues have already begun to bounce back. Churchill said in their statement that, hey, you know, you say we're a $1 billion company, but we lost money last year. I think their losses were about $82 million. But in the first quarter, they netted about $36 million in profits. That obviously doesn't include this event, which is their biggest one of the year. And so I think you could expect that as things get back to normal, there people are going to start coming back to the track in bigger numbers and betting bigger handles and going forward. And they're, you know, I don't think anybody's looking at Churchill and saying your money's going to fall off a cliff again. Right. Like you lost money last year because of a pandemic. And now, you know, these guys haven't had a contract since November. Hey, maybe some things were uncertain in November.
They're not now.
Maybe, but now it's starting to look back up. And that's what the workers are arguing. Yeah. And they're arguing too, hey, we worked through the pandemic.
Excellent point. So did they get, you know, government money, PUA money, did they get anything from the federal government? Because my mind goes, maybe they lost a little bit. How much of it was made up by taxpayers? Anything?
That's a good question. I didn't look into whether they received any money through the pandemic. That said, you know, I mean, Churchill has a pretty powerful relationship with the government of the state of Kentucky. Yeah. And
they're not going to be hurting.
Right.
They're just fine.
Player.
Right. So how do you see this real quick, 15 seconds? How do you see this playing out between now and the race time? Do you see them settling? Do you see this going on? How do you see it?
Well, Churchill tried to push it to next week and the workers said they didn't want to do that. So it's still kind of up in the air and it remains to be seen.
Some intrigue.
It's uncertain as the race itself.
Some intrigue for the big race. But Travis, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Hope folks will check your workout over at HuffingtonPost.com. Travis Waldron, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
Rick Smith.